Hello, Through the Word, Pastor Chris with you again, and we are back in Hebrews at chapter 4 as we continue to listen in on this powerful sermon. The preacher continues to drive home one central message: God has spoken through his Son. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I was reflecting on that as I listened to my pastor in church this last week, on the nature of voice and how we hear it. It's all about vibration and resonance. Stepping back again 2,000 years, the science is the same. The preacher speaks. His vocal cords vibrate, compressing the air in quick rhythms, forming sound waves that carry the preacher's words to our ears. Eardrums catch the rhythm, resonating those same frequencies. Then the path changes. The ear converts analog to electric signals, and the brain interprets sound, voice, meaning. But the journey is not yet done. We hear, we understand. Now there's a decision to make. Will we allow those words to travel from the mind to the heart? Now, the science behind God's voice, I can't say, but I do know that the one who created the whole system is perfectly capable of reaching our minds with his message. And yet, he leaves that final step to our discretion. The heart is ours to harden or soften as we choose. A hardened heart resists, but a soft heart resonates with God's voice. Now, back in our sermon, chapter 3 closed out with a dramatic illustration, the wilderness wandering. The Israelites heard God's voice and hardened their hearts with unbelief. The result? They never entered God's rest. So let's tune in once again in verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. This is what the preacher wants you to hear in God's voice, a promise, the promise of entering his rest. And here the preacher will dive deep on one of the Bible's essential themes. Rest is a beautiful thing. A basic human need. It's wired into our physiology, scheduled into our days, our weeks, our years, our lives, and yet so elusive. Why is it so hard to get one good night's sleep, one true weekend? Yet while the Bible speaks extensively of the rhythms of physical work and rest, the promise of entering God's rest is clearly something deeper. Jesus captures it succinctly in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Every time I read it, it's like Jesus' voice resonates, like something in my soul needs it, was designed for it. And that's exactly what the preacher wants for us, to hear Jesus' promise and soften our hearts so we don't fall short. The Israelites fell short in the wilderness, like running 80 feet to home plate or 95 yards to the end zone. They started well, but fell short. The result? No runs, no points, no rest. In verse 2, our story begins much like theirs. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. So they heard, just like you heard, but there was no rest for the wicked. The message was worthless without faith. You have to believe it. Verse 3, now we who have believed enter that rest. Here's how it works. You hear the gospel. God's voice speaks. Jesus died so you can live. You are forgiven. No works required. He finished the work, and he invites you to join in his rest. It's all there for you. The only thing required of you is faith. Believe his word and enter his rest. To drive it home, the preacher turns the pages all the way back to Genesis, to creation. Verse 4. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. So in Genesis, we see that rest was woven into the fabric of all creation. God rested and blessed mankind with the gift of rest. When sin entered, rest was broken. But when he called out a people, he set cycles of Sabbath into their weeks, years, and lives. And what a gift! Every cycle of work and rest builds a sense of longing into the human heart. It's as if God is training his people to hope. Hope for something beyond the mundane of endless manic Mondays. Hope for a weekend. Reminds me of the hardest job of my entire life. First year teacher, middle school algebra. High stress, endless work days. I love the kids, but the work wore me out. Then one day I made a deal with my students. Real weekends. No homework for you, no grading for me. I woke up that first morning, walked out my front door with my kids, and I was struck with a feeling I hadn't felt since childhood. Bright sun, blue skies, green grass, two gloves and a baseball. It felt like Saturday, and that feeling resonated with something deep in my heart, like I was made for it. That is God's gift. But again, this chapter isn't about physical rest, although it's related. Jesus offers rest for your soul, and the preacher wants you to hear his voice. The Israelites missed it. So in verse 6, therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. A hardened heart cannot rest, muscles tensed, refusing to trust God at his word, refusing to believe I'm forgiven, convinced that salvation depends on me, on my works. But it's not about my works. Verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. That's the rest he calls us to. Rest from your works. Soften your heart. Allow it to resonate with God's voice, with his promise of peace. You are loved. You are forgiven. Look to the cross. He died for you while you were a sinner. It is finished. Now trust him and let the peace of Christ rule your heart. Rest. Verse 11. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Notice that effort is not the enemy of rest. Work and rest are partners. When each is fitted into its proper place, they balance. In the physical world, hard work makes rest sweeter, and good rest makes work more effective and enjoyable. In the spiritual, Jesus finished the work so we can enter his rest, saved by grace through faith, not by works. Rest in that. Yet we are also saved to do good works. His rest renews our strength. Our good works are more effective and enjoyable if we rest first. Everyone around us is working for the weekend and perpetually worn out. We work for the Lord, and he renews our strength. We rise up on wings like eagles, with the wind at our backs. His voice calls us to it. Make every effort. That means pay attention, listen, and believe. John 6 tells us, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. In verse 12, the preacher turns rather abruptly, as if he senses something in the audience. He's been quoting the Old Testament extensively, knowing that God's voice resonates most clearly in God's word. He feels it. The audience feels it. It's alive. Something about it cuts to the heart. It cuts past your facade of good Sunday Christian and exposes you. Deep calls to deep. The preacher knows it's happening, so he explains it. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And what a verse! God's word, alive, sharp. I know well what it is to be cut deep by the word of God. It divides soul from spirit, so that we know the difference between emotional stirring and spiritual calling. It divides joints and marrow, the precise work of a surgeon. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God cuts deep and judges, separates right from wrong, and exposes it. Verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is laid bare. There is a power in God's word. When his voice resonates, it shakes us to the core and shakes away the chaff. The mask we hide behind is gone. And the eyes of him to whom we must give account look right at us. It's a rather devastating place to find yourself, totally exposed and vulnerable. Righteous God looking right at you and nowhere to hide. In a moment like that, you find yourself desperately in need of something to cover you or someone to save you, to mediate between you and God and make you okay. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. The preacher reminds us that Jesus can empathize with our weakness. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. What a relief to come to God and find compassion. Jesus went through it. He knows how hard life is. You don't have to hide anymore. No more shame. Your sin doesn't shock him. He already took it to the cross and nailed it there. You are made new. And that changes the way you pray. As you stand before God, you stand with your heart at rest. Verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Read Hebrews 4. Hear his voice. Soften your heart and let it resonate. And rest. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are his.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.